Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. And the show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and republicreview.org. As you know, this is the only show that asserts the constitutional process and solution of getting the federal government out of our knickers and getting them back into compliance to the Constitution. I've yet to have anybody come forward. I've had a lot of people say, they naysayers and doubters, but once they actually look at it and once they actually do the due diligence and research and look at exactly what Jefferson and Madison did and what they asserted in 1798, there is no doubt in their mind, this is the process. And so, before I move too far forward, the phone number to call in is 215-867-8255. That would be 215-TOP-TALK. I want to take this quick moment to get you to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org at your soonest convenience. Please go to the candidate endorsement page. I'm asking you to contribute to these candidates. I know that you probably have some real stellar candidates that you probably support and you want to support, but have they committed to calling for an audit and protecting you from federal tyranny like these candidates? If we are going to have any movement in saving this republic and our Constitution, as well as our way of life, because pretty soon we'll all be mandated in your own homes to have transgender bathrooms and be accommodating because the intolerant will not tolerate your intolerance or what they perceive as your intolerance. Because you kind of want to have your own religious rights. You want to have, you know, let everybody be. That is not going to happen anymore. Anyway, so again, that is on reclaimingtherepublic.org, the candidate's endorsement page. And you too can become a part of history as we get this movement rolling and baking right along. And so I will also say that if you are also looking to contribute your time, if you're looking to contribute resources and or computer processing, whatever you possibly can, if you want to help, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I actually reply to all of them, and I appreciate all of those who have piped in and those who have offered something. And I can't be doing this without help, and I'm only here because I've had a lot of help. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, and I can use more giants like you. Don't think that I've got all that I need. I don't. We need a lot to get this done. The framers at least had 3% or so of the population, and 7%, you know, really supporting their efforts. But it'd be nice to get to that 1%, my friends. It'd be nice to get there. I don't have much on the Wyoming governor's candidate issue. I will be pinging the Hageman campaign one more time to try to get them to make a commitment. And hopefully Rex will free up some time as well, because I would think that the Constitutional Party candidate would be behind supporting and committing to the Constitution. Anyway, as I always do, and I'm trying to get this through this quickly because I've been getting a lot of good feedback on this perspective that I'm providing you, because we need to understand exactly every time we engage with the progressives. And as a matter of fact, you need to start identifying and helping yourself even identifying in determining where you are on the scale of liberty, because you will find that rhinos will actually be more in support of subjugation than they are for liberty. It literally, it's Republican in name only. That's what rhino stands for. And there's this other term I call Chino, C-I-N-O, conservatives in name only. Because some people claim to be conservative, but if you look at, you know, all of their positions, they seem to be far more of a subjugationist or somebody that is a Platonist supporting communistic type of rules than you'd recognize. As a matter of fact, I know a really good friend that a really close friend that really considered themselves a staunch constitutional conservative. But every time something would come along, they'd go, you know, there ought to be a law. We ought to create a law for that. And I go, you realize that there is a law that you can't do this. You can't kill somebody. They were in support of hate crime laws and all sorts of additional laws to go after people, to try to create layers of punishments to just bury people. And I'm going, there's already a law in the books. It's illegal to pander. It's illegal to do this. Our system has worked pretty well up till now. So why is it that this friend of mine, I challenged him and said, why is it that you keep on wanting to instill greater controls and give the state more control over people? I thought you were a supporter of liberty. And they kind of took got back on their heels like I just punched them. And they had to really reflect on their positions. And lo and behold, they recognized the fact that they were actually in a statist position. And it takes a while to shift your paradigm. But once you realize where you are, you can start moving down this scale of liberty towards liberty or subjugation. And those who are on that far end, this is why we're having these conversations, and this is why I'm having these discussions at this point, because Washington, in his farewell address, talks about the jealousies of other men and nations, that they are not going to stand idly by and watch a nation based upon individual liberty and individual sovereignty move forward and taint the world, because they already saw the ramifications and effects of what America was doing to the world. It was literally changing the paradigm, as I mentioned yesterday, regarding the Declaration of Independence. And then, almost 20 years later, the French Declaration of Independence are very similar. I forget the document off the top of my head, but it was very similar to our Declaration of the Rights of Men, I think it was what it was. And if you understand what that declaration did, and if you understand what that Constitution codified, the systematic structure of a process where there was two literal, I'll call them directions of oversight and separations of power. There's a horizontal separation of power between the departments, between the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. There are literally caveats, or I should say compartments of power that are separated. And that's why they created these separations of power, to ensure that one person couldn't become the despotic ruler. On the vertical side is where you have the people at the top, the states, and then at the very bottom of the totem pole is the federal government. Because the supreme sovereignty is with the people, but it is with the people to the states, and then the states to the government. If that makes sense, because the Constitution only gave the states the authority, not the people, to amend the Constitution, to authorize the amendment of the Constitution. So the premise is that the people are in control of their states. And guess what, folks? We've been sleeping at the wheel, and that's why the states have been sleeping at the wheel, and that's why that bottom ring on the totem pole has been able to drive and turn this totem pole around. And so if you can understand, or you can at least grasp this concept of two directions of oversights and separations of power, then I think you're going to get that. Or I should say, I think you'll get the bigger picture and the genius of this system that the framers were inspired to create. Anyway, there is still no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so what that means is that we, you and I, have to do this. We have to put our shoulders together, and just like the framers did, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and work. And there is a little bit of work. Part of that is supporting these candidates. So I'm going to ask you right now to please go to the reclaimingtherepublic.org website and throw some love, throw some support. Again, these candidates are very appreciative of the $2 and $5, $10 contributions that are coming in. But that's not enough. If you haven't done it, please do so. Please make a point of getting it done by the end of the week so that they can actually start getting and paying for radio ads, because we're in the last 2 weeks, fundamentally two, 3 weeks before the primary in Wyoming. And now is the time to put a real surge on the radio to really start driving and creating momentum for these candidates. And it takes money to create that kind of momentum. It doesn't take a lot of money. It just takes small contributions from a lot of people that can be a very overwhelming thing. And that is why I'm trying to use the Bernie Sanders model here with everybody listening, that we can do this. We can work together and contributing. We can actually get these guys across the finish line. And so I'm up at a hard break, but we're going to get back into Platonism and natural law and more of this, because this is very critical. And there's really nothing spectacular in the news. Manafort's going through his trial. Wow. Nothing really spectacular, so I think it's far more important to understand the fundamental reasons why we need to be reading our founding documents. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so I've groveled, I think, once or twice for the candidates. So let me go ahead and move forward, because I think I need to continue my focus on why, as I was saying before the break, why reading our founding documents is not just important, it is critical for every patriot. Just like reading the scriptures is critical for every Christian or whatever your faith is. And that is because if you do not understand, if you do not know what was established, what Christ did, then when people start telling you, like, have you heard in the news, or have you heard politicians state that communism or socialism is Christ's way of government? Anybody that tells you that is lying through their teeth. There is no way Christ wanted the government involved in compassionate charities or compassionate services. That's absolutely no way. That was left to the church and to the saints. As he basically said, when you would have done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And in clarity on this, you had to do this willingly. When you have the state come and take for compassionate services, if you think you're a noble person because you pay your taxes for welfare and all these needy people and programs that are creating indolence and entitlement, then really what you're doing is actually the antithesis of Christianity and that doctrine of you giving of yourself, because there's a far cry difference from the government giving it away and actually first taking it from you to give it away. That is communism. That's compulsion. There's nothing in that process that resembles Christianity or Christ's doctrine and teachings. So anyway, something just happened went on in the Spokane GOP that I think this is really important, because this goes to how deep the deep state goes through the party system as well. And so I'll give you just a real quick rundown of what happened. The county chair also happens to run a local group called the Northwest Grassroots that is an informative organization. They have once a month what they call movie night, but it is an attempt in educating the local electorate in the issues of what's going on around them. And they provide an incredible service in doing this, because there is no one else doing this in the local area. Not sure if you have anybody in your area doing that, but if you happen to have some level of influence and or affluence in your county, then maybe you should be doing this, because it takes patriots to stand up and actually start telling people what the heck's going on regarding Agenda 21 and how it's getting a foothold in your county and how it's, you know, taking over your townships and cities and so forth. These types of organizations are their grassroots organizations that they're really critical in keeping patriots informed. Well, anyway, at the Red Pill Expo, because I was there at the time, there was this rumor flying around all of a sudden that this white supremacist was coming up. The guy's name is, I think, James Alsop. And he was going to be coming up and causing a ruckus. So the chair of the GOP, Cecily Wright, she's decided, well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave, because I do not want to be associated with that happening here and accepting this. So to be clear, she was very sensitive of not becoming a, you know, participant in having any type of perceptions by anyone that she was embracing, accepting of any type of thing like that. Well, so the guy shows up, and actually nothing happened the way it was advertised, as it was spun by either journalists or whoever was feeding these rumors. And he seemed like a real reasonable guy. And her husband, who also is the other half of Northwest Grassroots, started talking to the guy. And the guy came across like a real constitutional conservative. Nothing about racism, nothing about, there was just no evidence of this guy seeming like this, you know, paradigm that was being advertised. And so he went home, he did research, he pulled up 90 pages of information on this guy, and he really couldn't find anything other than contrived labeling by, you know, the progressive media and so forth. But there was no citations that were proving a book or anything like that. And let me go on to say that at this point in time, this gentleman's Twitter feed, at least when I looked for it, I noticed that his account had already been suspended. So with that, I know that they had him come up. They looked at, talking to him, and he basically started talking about, and he used the term label lynching, that people create a label so that they can create a mob justice. And all of a sudden, that term lynching became this racist term. If you look up the definition currently on, and then I was actually taken back because it was considered by the progressives, those who like to redefine things, the revisionist of history, the revisionist of words and their meanings, the progressives were basically asserting that lynching is a racist thing, and clearly that by definition it is mob justice. That's all it is. Anybody can ha it has been and can be still lynched by a mob, and it will be an illegal form of justice, especially in America. But let me go on. I just want to get through this kind of quickly. The fact of the matter is, as this presentation went forward and got posted, then all of a sudden there was this huge uproar that the Spokane GOP had all of a sudden embraced this racist guy, and they couldn't find anything based on what they had. And they felt that they, should give this guy an opportunity to come up and defend himself or what have you, because there was still, again, no evidence. They had no evidence, and they're very, very nice people. John and Cecily are really incredibly, wanting to do the right thing. And so they gave this guy this opportunity. Well, come to find out, the GOP, who actually had this guy do a presentation in a Trump-Pence rally in 2016, they even played that video. And so, I mean, the association would be, well, if the GOP back in the Trump rally was, okay, and we can't find really anything, then in, 2 years ago, then there's got to be, this has got to be okay. Long story short, this was a setup because John and Cecily are huge constitutional supporters. And in my perspective, the GOP has done everything they can to try to keep people toeing the party line instead of supporting the country and supporting the Constitution. As John always says, and you'll probably see it if you ever go to the Northwest Grassroots video page, they have lots of videos. He always puts up, it's time to put America over party instead of the party over America, because that's what the parties have been doing. And that's kind of what I've been saying with this whole Washington farewell that Washington was talking about. Be careful of these factions, because these factions will put themselves over the good of the country, the Constitution, so forth. So anyway, this really got into a fervor this week, and so Cecily kind of apologized for the fact that there are people that were offended or what have you. Long story short, the pressure came from up on high from the GOP to get her to resign. They literally told her, you need to resign, because they used this as a fulcrum to leverage a constitutional conservative out of a position. And this, here's a person that was literally just trying to do the right thing, and they already acted as the judge, jury, and trial and literally said, you have to resign. And I wish she wouldn't have, but again, she's that gracious of a person and human being that she does not want to create, this type of a persona or problem. I don't think she maybe realizes that there was the GOP from the establishment within Washington and the national system does not like to see party chairs happen to be in a position that, are in the county chairs that happen to be constitutional conservatives, because all of a sudden you are no longer controlled by them. And this basically typifies the work of Platonists. If you understand how important control is to a Platonist, this was the epitome of control coming down from the party. So this is why this stuff is so critical, and it's so important to understand. In Jefferson's time, there is no doubt in my mind, Jefferson would not allow anybody to basically stifle speech, period. If you ever go and you read about the the Jefferson Adams presidential campaign, some of the things that they said will absolutely shock you. They didn't use the type of expletives that are absolutely inappropriate, but they pulled no punch, and they were very brutal with their words because they lived, just like I grew up with this concept, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And it all depends on whether you allow them to hurt you or not. And so I think it's really unfortunate that Spokane County lost what I think is probably one of its most stellar chairs it's had in a long time, based on this Platonist control and how they use this event and these circumstances, like I said, as a fulcrum to leverage her out so that she cannot gain a better foothold in turning this Spokane County into a constitutional bastion. Heavens forbid that ever happen here. Anyway, I'm at a heartbreak, and I'll move on into natural law and more of the Platonist ideologies of subjugation, as well as the contrast to liberty. We'll be right back, folks. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
I've had a few conversations regarding this whole thing in Spokane. And just to kind of put this to bed, whether this was a setup or a crisis that they exploited, you have to remember this quote from Rahm Emanuel. Quote, you never let a serious crisis go to waste. And so I believe that this was a fulcrum that the GOP quickly descended upon this county and tried to inflict. They had to force her to resign, but she didn't have to. I wish she wouldn't have. I wish she would have actually led instead of allowing this. But I understand her position as well. I know that she is a real sweetheart and a real kind and a beautiful human being that did not want to create this kind of conflict. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, she felt that the best thing to do, because she just didn't want this to, you know, to continually cloud on her as we moved through the campaign and everything else. So anyway, she did what she believed was the right thing to do. And she's constantly doing what she really believes is the right thing to do for everybody. And so the fact that she's cognitive of that is just another reflection on her character and quality. So due to the importance of the nuances in language, I want to recover or retrace or go over a few more things that are critical to get straight regarding what we have been covering. Liberty, whether individual or in governance, is a result of the rule of law, especially as liberty correlates with natural law, as defined and applied by our framers, and more specifically by Thomas Jefferson's interpretation of the writings of the works of Hooker, Locke, Vattel, Bacon, Blackstone, and Montesquieu. Now, I will tell you that they, you know, people can throw out a huge list of a lot of other writers, but these were, and as a matter of fact, I'll even throw in Sir Isaac Newton. On his scientific side, he loved the writings of Sir Isaac Newton, and I told you that one of those books that Sir Isaac Newton had written and published 6 years after he died had a huge influence on him religiously as well. As I stated, the origins of natural law come from the Bible and evolved from got into the mainstream and evolution process of government and theory and philosophy via Aristotle, Cicero, and many other educators, philosophers, and statesmen that have been previously mentioned yesterday and the day before. Natural law became the foundation to the establishment of the common law system founded in England with the Magna Carta. As one studies the long volatile period of every European history, then you can start understanding how natural law became integral to God's law as the Greek, Roman, and Christian philosophies mixed and emulsified into a harmonious base that set up the evolution of enlightenment at the beginning of the 12th century, thus the Magna Carta. And if you understand who was it that was in charge of the education system and what was their credo, they believed in the freedom of academia. During the Middle Ages, many historians attest to the fact that natural law was in tandem with God's law. At the end of the 18th century, secular progressives also hijacked natural law, dividing it from God's law and into a doctrinal divide for giving credibility to socialism and communism. This is because natural law, as a derivative of God's law, was universally accepted, which again gave leverage to progressives to divorce the connection from God via committing murder, bearing false witness, property rights, and etc. In essence, the Platonists, in other words, the communists and or the secular progressives, were setting up their own oppressive government that would be married to their religion. And as a matter of fact, Jonah Goldberg, in his Liberal Fascism, really supports this as he analyzes Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin, or I should say Lenin, and so forth, how they were actually bringing in a new form of religion. Now, in Russia's case, it was the anti-religion of communism that became the religion. And like I have been saying, secularism here in America is in tandem with anti-religion, because secularism is anti-Christianity, and they'll actually support Islam and other faiths over Christianity just to poke the Christians in the eye. The end was to bring all back full circle, where the state controls everything. In other words, subjugation. That was their end goal. Their greatest challenge was to move the origins or rights from an endowment from God to a human birthright. That is why you see this grafting of natural law along with natural rights. By doing this, then becomes a malleable and this actually creates a malleable and subservient position to government, when we all of a sudden no longer have this endowment from God, but it just becomes a human birthright. And any human can have that. The greatest differentiator, I want to be clear here, the greatest differentiator between European Enlightenment and American Enlightenment, or in context, when I say American, I don't mean Northern, Central, and South American, just the British colonies that we know of the United States today. The American Enlightenment, in other words, was the concept of tolerance. So in other words, the difference between European Enlightenment and American Enlightenment was the concept of tolerance. We didn't have huge religious wars like Europe did. And Europe, instead of coming to a point of tolerance, what they came to was a point of godlessness, because the French Revolution was anti-Christianity, anti-religion. And it started literally growing and moving from there into Germany and so forth. Religious persecution and the loss of liberty became so common in the early colonies that one of the first documented political acts in the colonies was the Toleration Act of 1649. So we started doing these intolerances, but we didn't actually wage the crusades against one faith against another. These acts provided complete religious freedom for all Christian faiths in the colony of Maryland. In other words, this Toleration Act of 1649 was an act that was enacted by Maryland. Other colonies followed this doctrine, such as Pennsylvania and Rhode Island. And in 1636, when Thomas Hooker dissented from the Puritans and founded Connecticut, separating religion from government, and instituted the first colony that established representative government and a constitution known as the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. So here, this was happening in America under American Enlightenment, where what was going on in Europe, as they were debasing themselves, they were moving away, turning their backs towards religion and God, and becoming more godless. Now, in Connecticut, to be clear, it's not that they didn't have a state religion. It's just that they were no longer in tandem with religion and government. They started separating it, and that became the trend here in America. Natural law is the foundation that instilled tolerance and allowed the framers to set aside their doctrinal differences to work together. Let me be emphatically clear. The divine endowment of inalienable rights is a byproduct of God's law, natural law, and American Enlightenment. And the fact that anybody is coming along and hijacking this and using this as a secular state and a secular position is disingenuous and is literally thumbing their nose at Christianity. Because like I'm saying, I got to make this point once more, that the fact of the divine endowment of inalienable rights is a byproduct of God's law, natural law, and American Enlightenment. That's how this happened. It did not happen anywhere else or at any other point in time in the world, in the history of mankind. And so this is so important that I'm going to plow through this, that in Jefferson's defense of a mulatto slave named Samuel Howell, and I mentioned this before, versus Wade Netherland, the master, Jefferson was the first to argue in court on behalf of a slave that in reference to natural law, and that under this law, we were all born free. This ideology ignited a spark that eventually shifted the world's paradigm with Jefferson's Declaration of Independence to the insertion of the Bill of Rights into the Constitution. George Mason penned Jefferson's defense of the slave, which all men are created equal, first into the Virginia's Constitution, but again, it was Jefferson's original argument. So I think it's important to understand, you know, where this comes from, because a lot of people have, you know, forgotten or don't know about this legal argument that Jefferson was actually making in the Court of Virginia back in 1770. So this was the first time that this idea was actually uttered, and then it took it grew legs. It took root. And with that, it actually started growing and creating this, the world's greatest republic ever in the history of mankind. I'm at a hard break, so please stay tuned. I've got more for you. And we'll be right back after a word from these sponsors. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And before I go further, let me just regroup myself and make one more plea, because I know listenerships change from the beginning to the end. So if you have not contributed to those who have actually made the commitment in signing this pledge in protecting your liberties and standing up for the Constitution, the pledge that calls for an audit, that I ask you to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org website, and I ask that you just click on the candidate's endorsement page, that link on the right-hand side, right underneath the homepage link. And if you go and look at the few candidates that are there, I just ask that if you have not contributed a small amount, please do so. It only takes a little bit of time, and it may not be, it's hardly any money to you at all. If you could do $2, $5, or $10 for each candidate, that way it can help get them more money to get their radio advertisements and get a surge to help them get across the finish line. I'm doing everything I can, and I'm asking you to please help us get the dialogue started this year in 2019 session in the state of Wyoming, to get Wyoming to start leading so that other states can lead. This is how important this is. If this does not start, then we have no hope in saving our Republican Constitution. If you do not believe this will work, then please, you know, reach out to me, or at least look at my bullets and model and then try to refute them, because no academic has been able to refute this. Everybody kind of looks at that and then they just scoff at, you know, they don't like it, you know, nobody will support this, but nobody says that this is unconstitutional, this can't be done. Nobody refutes it, they just don't like it. And so this is really critical. That's why you are listening to the only show that actually has a tangible solution. And part of that solution requires you in participating, both in voting and if you can please support, I get it if you have no money, but if you can please support these candidates, I beg you, I plead to your just thinking that you can help with some small contribution, whether that be $2 per candidate. That would be a total of $12 this week, and hopefully your budget can sustain that. If you can sustain more, I beg you that you do what you can. And if you don't know whether you should, fast about it. Fast and pray, because I know for a fact that this is what we need to do. There's no doubt in my mind. This is what has to happen. We've got to support these great men who are willing to stand up against federal tyranny. Now, keep in mind, I've been using this concept of a scale of liberty. On one end is liberty, and on the far end is subjugation. And why it is important to understand this and who is on the extreme ends. This is not a circular paradigm, like I mentioned. This is linear, unlike many ways the left tries to describe the relationship of the left and right. Many times you hear them say, oh, well, if you go so far to the right, the next thing you know, you become left. No, that is not way. That is not how this happens. The traits and characteristics at the ends of the spectrum are complete opposites. There is no way to jump from subjugation to liberty. One must travel all the way back up the gray to reach the white from the black end, and vice versa. That is the only way you can do that. And so I know I gave you the godless secularist Wikipedia point of view of natural law and how they support the grafting of natural rights to natural law. And so I think it's important that I point these things out, because maybe I didn't do a good job of this yesterday, because I know Wiki confuses the point of natural law theories as an inspiration from Roman-like philosophies like the social contract theory. I even point out the conflict with supposedly their contributors, this facade of Hobbes and Locke, where Hobbes was asserting that monarchs had this divine nature of authority, and Locke absolutely challenged that. The fact that Wiki makes no mention of the Magna Carta and the canonizing of and the printing of the Bible galvanizes to me the intentional deception behind what they are printing. This is like anyone who writes a book and speaks to American Enlightenment and does not mention Christianity's role. Our Enlightenment and founding is a deliberate act of commission. And if you don't know what commission means that they are deliberately doing something. There is the act or sin of commission and the sin of omission. Omission means that you didn't do anything, but you could have done something to stop it, but you didn't. And commission is actually where you take an active part in making something happen. And so when you're writing a book and you deliberately do not write that, and I can tell you that you've probably read some of those books out there that, you know, talk about American liberty and those types of things, and they do not mention Christianity's role in our Enlightenment and how we got to become the greatest republic ever. You cannot divorce this. And I'm telling you, the fundamental premise from Jefferson and on, how this is all happening, why this is important, because this is actually what separates the difference between liberty on one end of the scale of liberty and subjugation on the other. So anyway, I will move on. Remember, the point here is to give you a profound reason why it is so critical to read our founding documents, just like it is for a person of faith to read their scriptures. Wiki deviously connects the concept of natural rights is used, and this is actually a quote from them, the concept of natural rights is used by others to challenge the legitimacy of all such establishments. What I'm telling you, my friends, is when they say this, the legitimacy of all such establishments, this includes Christianity and our republic. In other words, they're just basically challenging the divine nature of this country and the divine nature of Thomas Jefferson's assertion of our inalienable rights from God and our Creator. By doing this, in essence, this is the perversion of natural law by the godless secularist. And that's exactly who's behind this. Whether they know it or not, or whether they can willingly tell you that that's what they're doing, I am telling you that's exactly what they're doing. I also point out how Wiki connects natural rights or natural justice together. And that basically what it says is, and this is a quote, "Indeed, many philosophers, jurists, and scholars use natural law synonymously with natural rights or natural justice, while others distinguish between natural law and natural right." And so I told you yesterday, natural justice is the first step towards social justice, or using government and law to force socialism. Natural justice is a technical terminology for the rule against biases and the right to a fair process. While the term natural justice is often retained as a general concept, it has largely been replaced and extended by the general duty to act fairly. What that means is this is the first step, like I said, towards social justice, because first you have to be obligated with a duty to act fairly. Then you become legally obligated to be fair, which is tantamount to social justice. Social justice is, in this obligated to be fair, is the using of law in the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. Well, we got to be fair. We can't have these privileges, you know, for white people because white privilege exists. No, it doesn't. What happens is if you go to Japan, then Asian privilege exists, or Japanese privilege exists, or you go to any country in Africa, Europe, or what have you, whoever was the prevailing creator of that country and government and ethnicity, what have you, you'll find privilege exists there. It is a natural form of government and society. Do not let them make you feel guilty for being something in a society that happened to establish that society. You should hold your head high and be proud of the fact that we are a melting pot to allow everybody to rise to the occasion of success. There you go. Now, before I run out of time, you can tell I'm really passionate about this topic and making sure that hopefully people get this. I want to make sure that I just do one more plug for these candidates. This is so important, my friends. These men are, and I, this is not a gender thing. I would love to have women on board with this. These people who are willing to commit to standing up to federal tyranny is really taking this huge risk. And I'm telling you, they're doing this for the benefit of all of us, for the Republic. This isn't just something that they're doing because I know their constituents want to be protected and eliminate federal tyranny. So let me ask you once again, if you can please contribute by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org, just as you spell it, reclaimingtherepublic.org. Go there. It's on the right-hand side, candidates endorsement. It's the second button down. Click on that. That'll take you to the page that will show you. I even have an intro of identifying why it is so important that we support these people. These people are the framers of our future. I cannot be more profoundly describing this. This is that emphatically important. And I want you to know that if you become a part of this, I will promise you that you will be blessed as we all move forward, because I truly believe that the Lord wants us to be successful. I am G.R. Mobley, and I am Reclaiming the Republic, but I need your help, and I need everybody to put shoulder to shoulder so that we can fight for this republic. I will be back tomorrow, and we will have a deeper discussion on this. God bless. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.